560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we like to make you smile and have a great morning. I'm mixing it up.
It's where we help you find joy in the journey.
I know it is, but I know the gentleman just said where we help you find joy in the journey. So I just want to mix it up a little bit.
So I'm having technical difficulties with this microphone. All right, now we are ready to go. Hey, let's say a prayer before this train gets off the tracks any further. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we're saying goodbye, Allison. It's been nice knowing you.
No, you know, I'm so excited.
Why is that?
Well, I'm going to miss you, but I am taking some time off.
Okay.
So, today's my last day until the new year. So I don't know what you guys are going to do without me.
And we hate to say it, you guys, but it's budget cuts.
No, that's not the case.
We fell way short on the pledge drive.
Allison's bye-bye.
And Allison has to go to timeout.
No.
We have a money thermometer on the website. When we hit our goal, Allison can come back. It's like a reverse hostage situation.
Gosh. So that's not the case necessarily. But we do encourage you. I mean, if you like listening to us in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a listener-funded radio station.
We're going to have the next pledge drive, the theme is going to be Free Allison. Get her back in the studio.
I love it. No, I have a blast, but I must say...
You need time off. Yeah, be with your family, do your thing.
Well,
right?
an extended time off, right? There are days that I take off here and there, but this is going to be really nice.
This
just
will be
taking
good
some
you.
Extended time off. So I must say I am excited, but I love what I do. I love being here.
We love having you here.
Aww,
hey,
thanks,
maybe when you're off, you can check this out. A dear friend of mine who's a seminarian, I just love this guy so much. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was talking about the importance of the examine prayer. Now, I don't know if you know this. This is reviewing your day and seeing where God was present. Popularized and created by Saint Ignatius of Loyola, founder of the Jesuits.
Yeah.
Right? And he really urged them to pray this prayer daily. And it trains us to really recognize the moments of consolation and desolation that drew us closer to God versus pull us away.
Yes.
And it helps us see how God speaks through ordinary moments, not just dramatic spiritual experiences.
Nice.
You know, I was having a tough day the other day, and you just have a tough moment, and you can just tell the train is getting off the tracks.
Yeah.
You're starting to think some thoughts, just not good. You're getting into self-pity, all this stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, at least before I talk to somebody and, you know, just take someone hostage emotionally, I'm going to go and spend some time in front of Jesus. So I'm going to the chapel to pray. And I show up there, and I'm just like, you know, about to get undone. And when I walk in, some of my friends from this group, RC Collective, are in there. They were about to do a concert.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes, but they were doing a concert acoustic show at Holy Spirit Catholic Church for the youth ministry. And so, like, I could look at the examine at the end of the day and be like, God, when I was really struggling emotionally, I walk in, and it was like this moment of where you intercepted me with your love, you know, with these guys, these people that I care about. We prayed together, we talked a little bit.
Oh, Josh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it typically you begin with gratitude, grounding the prayer in thanksgiving, you know, before any self-reflection.
Yes.
You ask the Holy Spirit to see your day as God sees it. You review the day slowly. Where did you feel joy, peace, love, resistance, or agitation? And then only after that, you might look at a moment, you know, some moments where, hey, God, where were you maybe calling me to something? Perhaps I was resistant,
yeah,
right? And how can I do better next time? And the main goal is to live intentionally. So not just at the end of the day, but in those moments, you can see God when he's showing up and showing off.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Beautiful work, Josh. So thanks for sharing.
Maybe you give it a shot when you got, you know,
sometime, a little bit of time
off.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm going to do it, Josh.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Man, we got some all-stars in the house today. Linda Dyson, pastoral associate, continues her series on healing and discusses what not to say, the silly things we say to the grieving. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Ado. Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, discusses today's gospel reading. But next, oh, this is a treat. Father John Klein, LC, talks about the RC Collective Advent concert and mission taking place December 17th, 7:45 at St. Brendan the Navigator Catholic Church. You want to be there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be so amazing.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are with Father John Klein, guitarist, lead vocalist for RC Music Collective, which has really gained a major national reputation, discussing their big Advent tour. And by the way, the big stop is going to be at St. Brendan the Navigator this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us, Father.
Good morning, Josh. How are you today? Very happy to be here.
Yes, I am so happy to be chatting with you. I am such a fan of your music. And for someone who's never been to an Advent evening of music and prayer, what can they expect when they walk into St. Brendan's that night? And just remind us the time and the date, please.
We are going to be playing a little Advent night of worship and praise. It's going to be this Wednesday, the 17th of December at 7:45 at St. Brendan's and the main church. And it's going to be about an hour and 15 minutes of adoration. And we're going to be playing some of our original music and sharing different reflections on Advent. So we'll read some of the scriptures and the prophecies that kind of go along with Advent, and a little reflection on some of those images. So think of the potter and the clay. Think of the watchman who stands on the walls of the city and waits for help. Or think of the light shining on the people in darkness. So kind of some of those scripture images with a little reflection, and then those will tie into some of our original songs. So you get a little reflection and then time to pray and worship with one of our original songs.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah, and it will end with benediction. It's a beautiful sort of evening to pray through some of the scriptures of Advent, and also to worship and to be uplifted. So hopefully you leave with your heart's a little bit more full of hope, because Advent is definitely a time of hope.
Yeah. And by the way, this music is so, so good. First off, you are an acclaimed musician. You're so talented, and your group has developed quite a big following, especially on Spotify. But I love how Eucharistic and how authentically Catholic you guys are. And so these evenings happen in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. How does leading music and reflections before the Eucharist really change the way you and the musicians approach worship?
It's great to have the King presence there, and so always when the Eucharist is present, there's extra special graces, and immediately it turns the night into a prayer, into worship, because the Lord is present in a special way. So as you play those songs, he's definitely present in the moment and in the room, and so it adds a lot of grace.
And I think about this too. I mean, it just something that you're reminding me, like back when I was going to kind of the Protestant mega churches, it was like, you know, come Lord Jesus or Holy Spirit, come down. But Jesus is actually present. I mean, it's not like we have to beckon him. He is front and center. And you have some songs that are just such beautiful Eucharistic anthems as well. And what is so great about this? I mean, you guys in your group, it spotlights the body of Christ so well. Christy Music Collective, you know, brings together, you have priests in the group, religious consecrated women in the group, lay musicians. So what is unique about this collaborative approach, especially during Advent?
Yes, it's great. We have a number of young adult musicians from Nashville coming down. We have some excellent singers and musical artists. And it's true that I'm a priest, and we have a number of the Regnum Christi consecrated that sing. So you do get a sense of, it's very much like, it's still praise and worship, kind of the modern feel, but yet with all the voices and the harmonies, it's also very choral and very calming, and very beautiful. And so we definitely, one of our missions is to move people to have a deeper encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. And music is a special way, not only where you can know God's love, but you can also feel it. Music is very much taps into our deepest emotions, our deepest longings and desires. And so when you couple some of the most beautiful scripture passages with beautiful songs, you can experience in a more deep way what is intended by those scriptures to arouse in us a deep hope and a longing for the coming of Christ, hope in the midst of our trials, light in the midst of our darkness, consolation to know that even what we're going through, that there's a meaning and a purpose behind our struggles or our sufferings. And not just to know that, but to also feel that deeply. I think music adds that element that speaks to the heart, kind of maybe bypasses the head a little bit and speaks directly to the heart.
A reminder for people who may just be tuning in, we're talking to Father John Klein, vocalist and guitarist from the group RC Music Collective. They are doing an Advent parish mission, St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia. That's this Wednesday at 7:45 to 9 p.m., December 17th. Just such an amazing, amazing group. So, Father, Advent can be noisy and hectic. So how do these evenings of music and prayer really help people slow down and actually prepare their hearts for Christmas?
Sitting down in a beautiful space, listening to beautiful music, it does calm us, you know? The calming and beautiful harmonies of the songs can calm our hearts, slow our heartbeats, and just help us to unpack the deep mystery that's there. And one of the beautiful things about having adoration is the mystery is present before us. Yeah. And the music can just help peel back the layers of maybe distraction or worry or fear until we can finally let Jesus see deeper into us, deeper into our hearts. So I think the music is good about calming us down and then helping us more deeply be in touch with our own desires, to be in touch with our own sufferings, be able to name those in a more profound way, and then surrender them to Christ. So,
what was a highlight, or what was really special about it for you last year? And what are you hoping to impart on attendees this year?
Yes, I think every year we are able to present some new music that we've been praying with that year, and then also different kind of reflections that we pondered. So last year more was the theme was run to the Father, and it was more about how Advent is kind of the Father's plan to send Jesus to save us. And this year it's more focusing on kind of the images and the prophecies about the Messiah and helping us kind of go back into the Old Testament. What are those images that foreshadow a king and a Messiah and a savior that's coming? And how might that apply to me today where I'm at? How am I also kind of like Israel in my own, waiting in my own darkness? Or how am I like Israel, like the watchman waiting for help? Where do I need help? Where am I hoping that God would come and save me or touch me or heal me or bring light or hope into my own situation? So kind of delving a little bit more deeply into the scripture and the prophecies about the Messiah. That's kind of a little bit of our theme. And then when you hear those prophecies, the music that we present, I think, helps you to deepen in them in a new way.
Thank you so much, Father John Klein, LC, for your amazing music ministry. Be sure to check them out, RC Collective, RC Collective. And please, please go to this concert. It's going to be outstanding. St. Brendan the Navigator Church, 7:45 to 9 p.m. That's this Wednesday, December 17th. Where can they learn more about your group, Father?
Yes, if you just go onto Google, you can type in RC Music Collective or Regnum Christi Music Collective, and you'll find all of our links to Spotify or to YouTube. You can also type those things into YouTube or Spotify, and you should be able to find all of our music.
Thank you, Father, so much. Be sure to check them out. December 17th, St. Brendan the Navigator Church, 7:45. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
And just a quick heads up, Father Luke Ballman from Holy Spirit was scheduled to do a... we're supposed to play an amazing reflection of his from Advent in this time slot, but this event is so time sensitive, so he will be on Monday, 8:45, to get our hearts and minds prepared for Advent. Be sure to tune in for that incredible reflection. On the horizon, Linda Dyson, pastoral associate, continues her series on healing and discusses what not to say, the silly things we say to the grieving. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Ado. But next, Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, reflects on today's gospel.
If you'd like to comment about something you've heard on The Morning Quest or make a suggestion, doesn't that sound like a great idea, Josh?
Great. Yeah, it sounds great. I'm going to make a comment right now.
Yeah, well, you can send it to us at themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com.
Or just give them your personal number. They can text you.
Maybe later.
This is The Morning Quest.
Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. I hope everybody's having a fantastic Advent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are in the third week of Advent, so there's a lot of hope, hence our rose color.
Yes.
On Sunday. Yeah. So we're going to take in from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. The tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's interesting how in this parable and the parable of the prodigal son, there's always the two sons, you know, and that the two, I think, is we can say yes, we can say no.
Yeah.
So we have that dynamism within us, and that's God's greatest gift to us is our free will, and He will not. Usurp that. He will not push us against our free will. He continues to appeal to freedom, to our freedom. And it can be painful pointing out the incongruence as he's doing with these people, the elders. Look, the prostitutes and tax collectors, they change their lives. Sure, okay, at first they're doing their own thing, they're sinning, but they are turning their lives around. They're leaving professions and that were sinful, and becoming really a child of Israel.
Mm.
You know, so oftentimes I think we can confuse our feelings and with actions and acts of will. It's important that we learn how to discern what our feelings are feeling, and we can't necessarily control our feelings. We feel it's cold. Ooh, it's cold.
Yes.
Come on, just think hot. I can't. I'm cold.
Correct. You know?
But we can choose the way we think, and a lot of times we don't understand that, how important that is for the spiritual life, for one pursuing the gospel. You know, we get stuck in, well, I don't feel like praying, or I feel this or that and the other. And it's like, well, clouds roll in, clouds roll out. But the Lord is the Lord, and He's given us this capacity to freely think and pursue truth. That takes a lot of work.
Yes.
I see what you're getting at, Father. You really want the audience to understand that feelings are facts. Am I right?
I would say feelings are indicators.
You know, but you bring up a good point. I mean, it can point to something more significant, but a lot of times you have to push through that initial desire to get to something even deeper. Example being like, well, I don't want to go to the gym today.
I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah, correct. Yeah. You just have to push through and keep going.
But I found this is helpful, Father. I don't know what your thoughts are, because sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to do X, Y, or Z. I don't want to run the marathon. I don't want to do, and it's instead of going to, you know, from A to Z, it's like, no, what's the next thing? Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I can at least put on my shoes.
The next small
step. And then
step.
I can head towards the door after that.
Right.
It's like, what is the incremental ascent to accomplishing, you know, that task that is, you know, going to make me holier, healthier, or whatever it may be.
Right. Another point here is to help us to push through or to think correctly is answer the question, who am I?
Mm.
You know, who am I? And that is crucial. And then what do I want? Why do I want that?
Wow.
How will I go about doing that?
Yeah.
The when and this, when will I do it? You know, so those very simple words really help one to ground him or herself in reality. And we are an incarnational spirit. And hence, you know, so really cool for Advent, you know, Jesus, the Word is going to become flesh.
Yeah.
And God just loves our humanity.
Yeah.
But we live in a world of Gnosticism, which hates it, which rebels against it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the deep roots, these dandelion roots that go like 4 feet deep in the soil.
Mm.
And the dandelion roots of Gnosticism, which fueling the transgender ideology. And we can do anything with our body. It fuels the IVF, the in vitro fertilization mentality, which is immoral. And a lot of people, Catholics, are like, really? Yes, it is. And but why? Again, that question, why is it? Well, who am I? I'm a child of God, all right? But I'm a husband. I'm a wife. We want children. Why do you want children? Well, how are we going to go about doing that? Is that not, then the how, is that according to God's will? What does the church say? You see, so those questions are really pivotal in guiding us along the path of God's will, because it's not necessarily clear. We need to discern, but according to the truth, and not according necessarily to how I feel, but those feelings help us to discern. I'm feeling this. Why am I feeling this? I got to think. So let's say someone is constantly depressed. You know, why? Who am I? I'm a child of God, but I don't feel like when I'm constantly depressed. Well, why? Well, I mean, I do recreational weed. Oh, well, do you think that could have something to do with it? Well, I don't know. They say it's healthy. You know, whatever, you know, so you're answering these questions, and then you have to say, well, what do I want? I want to feel happy. I want to feel this peace.
Yeah.
Well, there is a physicality, a physical reaction that's happening within your brain that's not permitting that.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I hear, Father, is one thing I think that is coming clear in these, you know, wise words you're imparting on us is, you know, joy and really obedience as well is really rooted in actions, not just professions.
Yeah.
Right? You have one of these sons saying, I'm going to do it, and then he doesn't do it. And then one says, I'm not going to do it, and he does do it. Right? So it's not just the lip service. It's the steps that we take. And so, you know, maybe a simple prayer, Lord, help me be willing to want what you want for me.
Exactly. Even that prayer in itself is an act of grace, meaning that grace is enabling that person to want God's will. You know, we can't do anything without God. He's always helping us. He's the constant helper. And that's the mystery. He's not going to make the decision for us, though.
Wise words, Father Scott Rowland. I think that's the takeaway. What do you say, Allison?
I think that is, Father. That, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Father Scott Rowland, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, for another awesome gospel reflection.
Awesome. And maybe for resolution, just to give up all your Christmas cookies. No.
Send them to Father Scott.
No. But maybe just before, you know, maybe just begin maybe a daily conscience examination. And, you know, when you and then discern, like, how do you feel? And then talk to the Lord about that.
Sounds beautiful. See if that's
connecting to his will.
Thanks so much, Father.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you. All right.
God bless. This is from Vatican News. Cool story here. The Vatican is officially lit its Christmas tree and nativity scene yesterday in St. Peter's Square, marking the start of the Christmas season at the heart of the church. Sister Raffaella Petrini, president of the Vatican City State, said the display is more than a decoration, calling it a sign of peace, care for creation, and universal fraternity inspired by St. Francis of Assisi, who first created a nativity scene 800 years ago. Yeah. The nativity was crafted by a diocese in southern Italy, while the towering Christmas tree came from northern Italy as a gift to the Vatican. And the display will remain in St. Peter's Square through the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord in January.
Great.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Linda Dyson, pastoral associate, continues her series on healing and discusses what not to say, the silly things we say to the grieving. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Ado.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
You can spend 1 hour each week in Eucharistic adoration here at the Quest in our beautiful chapel. And you can be praying for the Quest and your own intentions as well. The Quest has Eucharistic adoration Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we are looking for weekly guardians. So to sign up, click contact us at thequestatlanta.com.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison, and thank you, Josh.
Glad you're here, buddy.
I'm glad to be here. And deeper and deeper into Advent we go. Today being December 16th, we're going to go off the grid a little bit here and find a saint that's not necessarily celebrated liturgically. Because, you know, as Advent starts to wind down and we get into these final moments, we really start to focus squarely on the Nativity, as well we should. But having said that, there's always saints to be celebrated day by day. And today we selected a man, Saint Ado of Vienne. And this is his feast day. He was an archbishop and a scholar, a prolific writer as well. We're going to get into that and talk about some of the volumes that he wrote. Recognized and trained under the tutelage of Abbot Lupus Servatus, who at the time was an outstanding humanist. And the abbot quickly identified Ado as quite an intellectual standout. And not only that, he was quite impressed with his holiness. So in many ways, the abbot took him under his wing, and he was a noble by birth. In fact, he renounced his inheritance to become a Benedictine, and in time was assigned to a monastery in Prüm, which is near Trier, Germany. His holiness, of course, made him enemies, as it often does throughout history, and in time he was forced to leave Prüm. He went to Romion on pilgrimage, remained there for about 2 years, and then he went to Ravenna, where he found an old copy of the Roman Martyrology. Mm-hmm. And this is really where the story takes off, because in using this, Ado actually rewrote a new version of the Roman Martyrology, which is, we're still very much in use today. And he did this in the year 858. So in Lyons, Ado was welcomed by St. Romingus, who was the archbishop. He would, of course, go on to sainthood as well. And at that time, Ado would serve as pastor in Lyons until about the year 860, when he became the archbishop of Vienne. And he was appointed as such by Pope Nicholas I.
Oh.
A man who we talked about back on Thanksgiving, if memory serves.
Jolly old Saint Nick, or is this another one?
No, that's the other one.
That's a different one.
He was a bishop as well, but this was Saint Nicholas the Great.
He was educated at the famous Benedictine Abbey of Fieres, I think I said that right, where he gained this great reputation for his scholarship and his piety. He enters monastic life there, and he faces accusations, possibly due to jealousy or I don't know exactly. I think it's pretty nebulous and murky all the way around, but he was expelled, and details of the charges remain vague and likely unfounded. So during his exile, he travels extensively, you know, to Rome, where he just immerses himself in the study of the church fathers and the liturgical practices. It's just so interesting to see what the enemy wanted to use for evil. God worked for good. And here we are using these incredible biographical writings that he had, or, you know, biopics on the saints all these years later.
Yeah. And in addition to the Roman martyrology, he did write a bio on St. Desiderius, St. Theodorus. And he also wrote a book. I found this interesting. He wrote a book on the miracles of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Who was a very popular saint. The other few that I'd mentioned, folks probably don't know them. I certainly don't. But St. Bernard of Clairvaux is a much beloved saint. He was the man who authored the Memorare Prayer, which so many of us pray every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he wrote a book of his many, many miracles. And again, St. Bernard of Clairvaux is one of those saints where so many miracles are attributed to him. It's hard to keep track of, but it must have been quite an undertaking to write a book on all those miracles.
So for all listening, and maybe including myself, explain what a martyrology is.
Yeah, so the Book of the Roman Martyrology is used in Mass. Whenever we celebrate a memorial or an optional memorial of a martyr, we use this book, and it's designed to really focus in on that saint's life, whether or not the collect prayer is written in direct association with that saint. Gospel passages and readings are often chosen in order to align with that saint's life. And it just makes the Mass a much more intimate experience because the readings are so relevant to that particular saint's life.
Mm.
And you know what? Saint Adele, he could be considered the patron saint of Roman martyrology.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would believe that, absolutely, because of the work he did.
I have something here. A notable excerpt from his martyrology reflects his Christ-centered worldview. It says, "The Holy Church of God, purified in the blood of the martyrs, shines forth in splendor, bearing testimony to eternal truth." Again, yeah. Talking about the martyrs and the bloodshed.
Yeah, it's just great to see that he took such an interest in this because it's an important part of our church history. And even going back a few days ago when we were talking about Pope Damasus, the interest that he took in the martyrs and the relics, mm-hmm. You start to see all these pieces come together, and they're just so important to our history. And these are all, you know, early church fathers, at least in my opinion. If you're born in the year 800, that's, in my mind, still an early church
holy men and women, you know, they're dying for Christ.
Now, his journey doesn't end there. You think, wow, he must have gone out on top writing this martyrology in these books. But actually, he becomes an archbishop in 860, the Archbishop of Vienne in 860 by Emperor Lothair II, marking the beginning of his real influential episcopal ministry. And I think he had a bunch of reforms. So he combated simony, so the selling of, did I say right? Simony?
Oh, simony, yes.
Simony, yeah, not simony. I was testing you. Simony. The selling of church offices. He addressed, you know, laxity among the clergy, ensuring their, you know, adherence to celibacy and moral conduct, and really revitalized monastic life, particularly observance of the rule of Saint Benedict.
Yes, absolutely. And in the later stages of his life, we see that he actually butts heads with Lothair II, who was the king of Lorraine. He tried to set aside his lawful wife to marry his mistress.
Wow.
So here we have Ado going to Rome to denounce this, channeling his inner John the Baptist and telling him, no, you can't do that. Mm. And of course, that would lead to, you know, a stormy end to his life. He would eventually remain in Vienne until his death in the year 875. But he's known for that. You know, again, a staunch
defender. Was he a martyr?
He was not a martyr. Okay. No. And it's, you know, quite interesting that he was able to survive that, because many of the saints who stood up like that, as John the Baptist, St. Thomas More, they saw the martyr's fate.
That was the end of the road, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A few other things that are super interesting. He wrote a chronicle documenting the history of the church in the Carolingian Empire, blending theology and a historical narrative. And again, he opposed Hincmar of Reims, a powerful archbishop, on the issue of predestination, upholding the church's teaching on free will and grace. Isn't that interesting that throughout the years we have all these headbutts, even within the church, yeah, on what is orthodoxy, what's theologically sound, and the Holy Spirit triumphs, but yeah, sometimes through contentious dialogue as well. He also supported the papacy against secular encroachments, emphasizing the independence of the church. Hey, praise God, man. Yeah. This guy's, yeah, laying down the hammer on separation of church and state back then.
Yep.
So,
yep. Good, strong man. We had a number of them early on. We've been talking about them over these last few days, and thank goodness for them.
Amen.
He passes away on December 16th, 875, and is remembered for his scholarship, courage, and unwavering fidelity to the church.
Good full life. 70-something years, defender of the truth, a prolific author whose writings stay with us today. St. Ado of Vienne.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Allison, you picked out the coolest story.
Listen, it brought tears to my eyes, truly, when I was reading this today.
Yeah.
I found that on Catholic Vote. And this is the story, a comeback rooted in faith, not fame. And to think about it, sometimes the most electrifying stories aren't about winning. They're about saying yes when God opens a door. And that's exactly what happened this weekend when Philip Rivers, devout Catholic husband, father of 10, coach, and now once again NFL quarterback at 44 years old.
Yeah. And I mean, from Catholic high school to the NFL, I mean, what a jump. He wasn't just he wasn't training in an NFL facility. He was coaching high school football at St. Michael Catholic Church in Alabama. His players weren't scrolling social media when the rumors started. They were running to school computers, refreshing his name every 10 minutes. Why? Because their coach, a daily mass goer and family man, might be coming out of retirement to play for the Indianapolis Colts.
Unbelievable. Nearly five seasons after his last NFL snap, Rivers stepped onto the field Sunday. He started, took hits, got back up, even threw a touchdown pass, and became the fifth quarterback in NFL history to throw a touchdown at age 44 or older. The Colts didn't win, but Rivers nearly pulled off one of the most unlikely comebacks the league has seen.
Yeah, and even the opposing city took notice. The Seattle Times, not exactly a friendly crowd, admitted, "Can we take a moment to appreciate what Rivers did?" And it wasn't about ego or unfinished business. Rivers actually texted his fellow coach before agreeing to return, "I'm going for it. There's only one way to find out. You have to try."
I mean, isn't that amazing? So when you think about it, that wasn't about ego or unfinished business. Rivers texted that, right? The same message that you just said, Josh. I'm going for it. There's only one way to find out. You have to try.
You got to trust God with those moments. And he never separated football from vocation, by the way. He's a daily mass goer, married to his wife, Tiffany, 10 children, now a grandfather. Think about it, a grandfather on the football field.
I know.
And when he first retired, he didn't chase TV deals. He chose to build up a Catholic high school program that was struggling. When he arrived at the school, they had lost 18 straight regional games under his leadership. First regional win, then 12-2, now 13-1, and a trip to the state semifinals. How cool is that?
That is so cool. So when the Colts called him in, Rivers needed cleats. He went to his trophy case and pulled out a pair more than a decade old. Same shoes, same work ethic, same faith-filled claim.
Yeah.
Or calm.
Yeah, and so his players watched the game together, cheering, but learning something deeper, right? They saw this leadership that was grounded in faith, what that looked like. Rivers prayed, he listened, and when the door opened, he stepped through.
And what was so cool, when I was looking on this article, it shows a clip of the kids that he was teaching in the high school clapping and cheering him on. I had tears in my eyes.
Wow.
I mean, that's how we're called to be witnessing to everybody in our presence, whether it's our kids, if we're teachers, even if we're not teachers, we are setting an example. So a good takeaway for today, this story isn't about football. It's about what happens when you stay faithful in quiet seasons. And when God calls, even unexpectedly, we respond with courage. Because when God opens a door, we don't need certainty. We just need the courage to say yes.
Amen.
coming up on The Morning Quest.
Linda Dyson, pastoral associate, continues her series on healing and discusses what not to say, the silly things we say to the grieving. By the way, remember our memory verse, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, for the Lord is near.
The Morning Quest continues on AM 1160, The Quest.
We are joined by an all-star of Catholic radio, Linda Dyson, pastoral associate, continuing our series on healing and discussing what not to say to the grieving. How are you, Linda?
I'll keep coming back for those compliments. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
No, Linda, no, seriously. And what a topic this is. Mm-hmm. So you've walked with over 600 families through grief at Cathedral of Christ the King in Atlanta. You say that when people say hurtful things about grief, it actually, their nervous system goes into fight or flight or freeze mode. Can you help us understand what really is happening in these awkward moments?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, today we are going to be talking exactly about that, because we are tackling one of the greatest mysteries of all time, and that is why a perfectly lovely person can suddenly turn into a greeting card robot, saying the wrong things at the wrong time. Now, what happens for all of us, I know we've all been there, you are faced with someone who is experiencing a divorce or has lost someone or lost a job or having a financial issue.
Yeah.
And you just get stuck in fear. You want to be the fixer. You want to be there for that person.
Yeah.
You really maybe don't even want to face the possibility that that could happen to you. So in that fear, we just don't know what to say. Our nervous system takes over and our mouth runs amok.
It's true. So true.
Yeah. And you mentioned that grief isn't about death. It includes divorce, miscarriage, caregiving, job loss. Why do we struggle even more finding the right words for these kinds of issues?
Yeah. Yeah. For people that we love, people that we are in contact constantly, we want the best for them. But honestly, when you're in front of someone who's grieving, the words are not what they need necessarily. It's not always the words. And when we're faced, I'll give you some examples. Divorce, Allison.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've ever heard this one, but, you know, in our best days when we think that we're saying the right thing, oh man, Allison, I didn't really like him anyway. Or wow, I didn't think it was going to work out anyway, Allison.
Yeah, my goodness.
You're better off without him. And we think that these words are helping, and we don't understand what might be going on with that person.
Yeah.
And having empathy and just listening to see where they are and whether those words really fit.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And it can go in the other direction, I'm sure, right, Linda, where someone turns into just a greeting card factory. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I cling to Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good. But, I mean, when someone's in the heart of it, like, something great's going to come from this. I mean, just like a snap and... Yeah. You know, you're really not entering into the depths of what they're going through. You're just kind of giving them a slogan. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, actually. Yeah, that's so funny because you know scripture.
Yeah.
But then you also know the neighbor that does not know scripture. And you think they quoted something I've never seen in the Bible. Or they sound more like a fortune cookie.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we want to rush past the pain because it's hard for us to even fathom what they're understanding. You know, going through and trying to understand what they're feeling. And so in that rushing past, we fail to witness what's in front of us or who's in front of us and what they're experiencing. And there could be times when it is totally appropriate to quote a scripture because you know they're there and ready to hear it. But for someone that might have just lost a child or may be experiencing a job loss, perhaps next week might be a better time to bring scripture up, and maybe today is the day to listen, to understand where they are, so that when you do provide this nourishing scripture or ideas or support, you know it's going to land. You want it to land in the land in a way that's going to be accepted.
So with the question he was bringing you, that was such a beautiful response, Linda. But what should you do, like, before even any words are said, like when you know somebody lost a parent or lost a child or is divorced? How do we be, right? Because I know it's so easy for us to be thinking in our head, what do we say? And again, it's not about saying you're telling us.
Right.
So what do we do?
I love the word be in your question.
Yeah.
Be is really the answer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's being there. Mm-hmm. It's being present. It's being the person that listens. And oftentimes the most powerful moments, I know for me, I could speak for myself, the most powerful moments for me are the time when someone just simply sits next to me and grabs my hand.
Oh.
Or says the obvious, man, this stinks. Mm-hmm. This really stinks. And I don't know what you're going through, but I want to let you know that I'm here.
Mm.
And I'll always be here.
Yeah.
That's not a time to, you know, like, challenge people in their thinking, make them respond.
Yeah.
Don't force that person to respond. Give them time.
That is beautiful words. Just being present.
And
just
I think that is one of the things we can be grateful for when we go through grief or tough times, because it instills in us a deeper sense of empathy and compassion for those who, you know, are dealing with what we had, you know, previously walked through. I mean, before going through certain hardships, there would be times where I'd be more likely to just turn into a fortune cookie machine, you know, and try to give them the right word. If only I can string this, you know, these band of pearls together, you know, it'll just unlock the, you know, the pain, and they will be feeling. And it just doesn't work that way. I mean, you know, it's time, right? Time. I've heard someone say two things: time heals all things, and they said, wait, no, God heals all things.
Oh, there you go.
I thought that was a beautiful way to frame it. But now I'm more likely in certain circumstances, at least, to just be like, man, I am so sorry. Like, I really wish I could make this, you know, change this for you. Like, I don't have the answer, but I love you and I'm here for you and I'll be praying for you. You know,
that's meaningful. I mean, just a small text saying, hey, you know, I'm in the Adoration Chapel. I'm lighting this candle for you. No need to respond to this text. Just wanted to let you know I'm here. Or, you know, I'm coming by at 3:00 by your house and I'm going to drop a quart of soup by the door. I'm going to ring the bell. You don't have to answer it. Just know that the soup is out there.
Wow.
Those are the powerful moments.
Yeah, wow. I think about this, and I know we're kind of doing a detour, but you're just inspiring us so much here, Linda. A friend of mine recently called me from college, and I've tried to talk to him about faith and things like that, and nothing stuck profoundly, I don't think. It's not like he, you know, was reaching out to me about going to mass or things. He lives in another state, but recently his father passed away, and he calls me, like, we don't talk hardly ever. He calls me because he knows where I stand and what Jesus means to me. And he said, I found out this morning my father just died. And he knows I lost my father a year ago. And he was just teary. And I said, he just said, I was wondering if you could just say a prayer for me.
Wow.
And we said a prayer right there on the phone. And that's all he wanted. And that was the end of the conversation.
And that's going to be the most meaningful thing that you can do, because you actually met him where he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He responded to what was in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. So, Linda, in well-meaning church communities, we often rush to phases like God needed another angel or everything happens for a reason. Why are these particularly unhelpful? And how do we balance our genuine faith with allowing people to feel their grief?
Great question. Well, you know, some of these platitude questions don't have an answer for somebody who's going through it, who's in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Even the question of, how are you doing? I actually made that mistake last night in my grief group, and I thought, that's the dumbest question I can ever think
of. Yeah.
Because the brain's not ready to respond to this in a way that's thoughtful. When you're in grief, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Your neurological system is not prepared to give a cogent answer or to be able to respond to these things. Oftentimes, you hear those things, hear those statements like, oh, yeah, to the person who had the miscarriage. Oh, wow, well, you know, at least you know that you can get pregnant. Or,
gosh,
wow, you know, you lost a child, but I'm so glad you have another one.
Oh.
And it's not that the person is not well-meaning. They are well-meaning. Yeah. There is love in it. But understand that there's a bigger picture that you don't see. And oftentimes just saying less.
Yes, is the best.
Has a greater presence.
Yeah. We've got about a minute left, but were you about to say something?
Well, I just want to ask her another question.
Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know you mentioned once that you told a widow her husband was in a better place, and she said the couch seemed pretty good to him. What did that teach you about being present with grieving people?
Yes. So this person did lose her husband, and, you know, hey, he's in a better place. But she said, you know, I really would have loved to have been watching TV with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that they're lost in time. They're stuck in the moment before that person was lost. And they're trying to understand that there's a longer timeline and that we will see that person again. But know that you have to meet them where they are in this moment. So the greater truth may not be understood.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you so much, Linda Dyson, Pastoral Associate, for this amazing series on grief and healing. So powerful. By the way, if people are going through a tough time, how can they reach out to you and access some of the great resources you can provide
for
those
people? I'm so glad you said that, because we're putting together a landing page. I have it under lyndadyson.com, just so you remember. It'll be lyndadyson.com/grief. Mm-hmm. And I'll have some resources for this series, including the bingo card about the ultimate what not to say.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So you can play that this Christmas.
I think that's perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Linda. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.